We turn now to our gospel reading this morning. I invite you to join me if you'd like in chapter 11 or chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. It's found on page 74 of the Bible. And it begins chapter 12, verse 13. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Many of us, I think, might confess to some fantasy thinking about a possible inheritance. What if you received a significant inheritance from that long-lost uncle or your granddad? What might you do with that money? "If only I had enough money to go to Hawaii. If only I could pay off those college loans. If only I had enough money to buy that new Prius. If only I could just win the lottery. I could certainly have some relief in being able to write a check for that college tuition bill that's coming due very soon." There was an inheritance in this biblical story. The opening begins what should have been this great time of remembering and gratitude. However, in this family, there appears to be a very potential family feud. One brother comes seeking Jesus' intervention in this family squabble about probably a significant inheritance. Some of us have been involved in some of those kinds of interactions. In a time of giving and sharing of an inheritance, there is this potential of great gratitude. But here, Jesus refuses to get involved directly, but he tells this parable. It's a story of this rich man who had a bumper crop. He has had one-on-one conversation with himself, and he's in total isolation. There's no evidence that there's anyone else in his life, anyone he should care about, anyone else who might have contributed to or benefited from his bountiful harvest. It appears that all he can think of is what he should do to make sure that he gets the most out of it so that he can live comfortably into his old age. He definitely falls prey to the notion that he can secure his own future. He needs no one, he depends upon no one, and he can go it alone. He's benefited from good luck. But the trap he falls into is in the next steps. When he has this windfall, he doesn't run into the village and celebrate and announce his plans to share a good fortune with the community, let alone get their help in deciding perhaps how to deal with this inheritance. But he turns inward and he stays there, figuring that he can be self-sufficient and secure because of his wealth. One has to wonder just who Jesus was addressing in this parable. It seems like this prime teaching moment. In the end, it is not only the rich farmer who is not immune to death. None of us are. But he will die alone. And all that he has stored up will neither comfort nor protect him, nor will it go to others. I wonder if we might lean in today to hear this story just a little more closely after living these 2 weeks in the midst of political conventions and conversations. There are many messages in our culture that declare that we should not and cannot trust one another. The world is increasingly dangerous, and we should therefore be increasingly afraid. But fear will never lead us forward. We are not created to live in stress and anxiety. You know it yourself. Our bodies pay for it. Our stomachs clench, and our muscles tense, and our teeth grind. Writer Katie Savage notes that chronic teeth grinding is referred in the medical community as bruxism. And the word comes from the Greek bryx. It literally means a gnashing of the teeth. And dentists note that the primary cause of the condition is anxiety. And a number of extreme cases actually rise when conditions are stressful, such as during a recession. If you recall, many times in the Bible, hell is described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, anxiety is a sort of hell. Now, seminary president David Loess writes, throughout Scripture we hear these words, do not be afraid. It is not offered simply to bolster our individual courage, but really it is to make it easier for each of us to turn to one another, to turn and share our fears and our hopes and our dreams and our needs in order to form a community. The Bible warns us against fear because it's really hard to care for your neighbor and create a community when you're afraid. And this farmer who was rich in possessions but absolutely dirt poor in relationships never got that message that we are not created to be alone. If only he had known. Be on guard, Jesus told them, against all kinds of greed. It's tempting to think that Jesus is just down on material things and wealth. But it's so much deeper than that. He knows that seductive power of possessions. And he wants to clear the way, I think, for you and I to receive so many greater blessings and joy. The rich man's anxiety about the inadequacy of his barns mirrors in some ways our own preoccupation with handling our possessions, with protecting them with security systems, investing them safely, worrying about them. And it's not that such precautions are irresponsible, but our obsession with them can distract us from what is really important or lead us to place our trust in the wrong places. The only time that God speaks directly in the Gospels is right here in this parable. It says, "You fool," God says, "this very night of your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" If only he had known. He could have known an incomparable joy in the short time he had left if he had spread out the abundance of his goods among the community. And the parable concludes, So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. That last sentence has been stirring within me as I've held this text this week. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. It seems rather simple. Don't store up treasure. We have all kinds of warnings, and yet all of us struggle. My own house is filled with books and treasures and files and pictures, and it's hard to know just what to keep and what to release. Being rich in God is certainly continuing to learn just what to hang on to and what to let go of. But a story from one of my husband Dale's experiences as a hospice chaplain always comes to our minds. I will call him Bill. Bill had been diagnosed with lung cancer, and in the final months of his life, he often lamented about all that he had thrown away. It was not things, but it was actually his beliefs. Bill had been raised, you see, in a very conservative home. And in his teenage years, he had totally rejected the church, as well as his family and God, and lived his life as a professor with great freedom and accusations against the church of his upbringing. It was as he sat in the dining room table, in the last weeks of his life, shaking with his cigarette in hand, that he said, "If only I had not rejected God and my family. I didn't need to turn away from everything." And his words continue to echo in our lives. If only. And on this last day of July, another warm summer morning, we probably didn't come here to be confronted. But I believe that some of us came to be reminded that, again, we receive such abundant love and grace from God. We have been gifted, and we are rich. We are rich with this never-ending blessing. Eugene Peterson's translation of the passage in the Message says this: "What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving." Today we have heard this parable about a rich man who has everything he needs and whose land keeps producing abundantly. Instead of being concerned about how to share it all, he becomes concerned about where to store it all. And all he can imagine doing is tearing down those barns and building larger ones to preserve it. You know, all he can imagine is to tell his soul to relax, to take it easy in the years and live off his growing pile of resources. But God calls him a fool because that very day would be his last. Kayla McClurg writes, "That very day was the last day to imagine something new." How fascinating to realize that only the abundance we relinquish is ultimately ours. And only when we open the doors of our silos and our barns can the winds of a new spirit blow through. There is lots of work ahead of us. If not in the coming weeks, it will be in the coming months. For many of you, it is a matter of determining priorities with your time and your energy. How do you enter this new school season with less stress, perhaps, and an awareness of God being with you as you choose priorities? How do we enter this political arena with integrity and without anxiety? For some, it might be determining and discerning how you best serve God when you can no longer perhaps climb ladders and cook meals. I the active things you used to do. I pray that every one of us might continue to be open to listen for our calling, to rest in this abundance of God's love, to be set free to determine how you might have shared, how you might share what we have received. Whether it's in possessions or in knowledge or compassion, we are to examine the chains, those plows that bind us. Perhaps it is money or our work or our schedules. It might be the feelings of inadequacy that actually bind and keep us from receiving God's abundant love and grace. If only we might return again and again, over and over, to God, to the God of richness, to the one who has created us. If only we can continue to help one another soak in the reality that we are rich in God. If only we might commit and value this community who seeks to be committed to Christ's work among us and invites all of us to be part of discernment. If only we can share widely beyond these walls, only then do I believe that we will be set free to find our calling, to live a life full of the love of God for ourselves as well as for others. If only we knew the richness of God. Amen.